You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Now, the developments in the US are certainly very interesting to keep an eye on. They definitely have ramifications and impact on South Africa, especially when we look at the AGOA agreement that, of course, has some interesting implications around our trade relationship with the US as we've been giving or as we've been receiving preferential rates as a result of the African Growth and Opportunities Act that has been in place up to now. That agreement is under review next year in 2025, but ahead of that review, we've seen our Minister of Trade, Industry and Cooperation take a trip to the US to hopefully get South Africa extended on the or under this agreement and not removed from this agreement. I'm joined on the line by Professor Adrian Saville of the Gordon Institute for Business Sciences to take a look at this extension and try and understand the timings of everything. Good evening, Prof. Lovely to speak to you again. Let's start by taking a look at the fact that the agreement expires next year, but it would be obviously under the Biden administration if we could secure our renewal, and that would be part of this year as the elections are in November. The timing of this particular trip or the urgency around wanting to bed this down, your thoughts on that?
I think, Jimmy, it depends on whether you're asking that question with a South Africa lens or a Pan-African lens. I think that brings a very different perspective. Certainly from a South African stance, there's been the term that sort of springs to mind as sort of a love-hate or a very antagonistic and provocative relationship that's gone from stages of rather frosty and cold to slightly warmer, and certainly since the Russian ship incident, where things perhaps got to their coldest, they have got a little warmer. But it's been an on-off type affair from a South African perspective, and there is a whole bunch here that has to do with foreign affairs and international relations, as much as there are important economic questions behind this. But the timing really is about trying to get South Africa into a stronger position on the eve of the renewing of the agreement.
Prof, when we look at the economic side of it, and we'll come back to some of the other timing conversations, but let's jump to the economic side of it because you've brought that up. Minister Pakstau believes that we need to be part of AGOA as part of industrialization. And these are sentiments that have kind of been echoed by the Chinese foreign ministry today as well. What are your thoughts on this? Are we better off being part of AGOA, or are we at the point where as a country we can sort of walk away from it?
And I think AGOA also needs to be read against the backdrop of broader trade arrangements. The African Growth, African Continental Free Trade Agreement is critical to this also, I think. And if you read these two alongside each other or back to back, African Continental Free Trade Agreement plus AGOA makes for a really neat arrangement. But what we know, from a deep learning or deep experience with trade agreements is they tend to be worth not much more than the paper they're written on. What's absolutely critical is that you get from the ideas to actually implementing these agreements. And when it comes to both of these acts, African Continental Free Trade Agreement has really been of little effect or impact to date, and AGOA extremely mute. That if you think, if we ran through a list and said, let's name all of the huge successes that have been spawned by AGOA over the past 20 years, I think you're hard pressed to find those examples. Where African economies have done particularly well has been on the commodities front, but that's not what this act is about. This act is about trying to really bolster value-added industries, manufactured goods, and it remains the case that we have been wholly ineffective or overarchingly ineffective in levering this this potential.
Prof, when we look at the manufacturing side of it, I remember you and I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago around the fact that we needed to see more beneficiation happening in South Africa, more manufacturing and industrialization happening here, rather than just extracting raw minerals, shipping them off, and then repurchasing the finished products. Is that something where that would be a better area of focus to for the Ministry of Trade and Industry and Corporations to say, let's focus on bringing in resource and capability into South Africa so that we can do things for ourselves rather than focusing on extending this sort of agreement?
Look, I think extending the agreement, the last thing you would want to lose is the sort of the spirit of collaboration and the the ethos or the principles of cooperation that sit behind AGOA. What you're pointing to, certainly in my mind, is an entirely different affair, which is, does South Africa really have a real potential to build a manufacturing base? And again, if we go to the evidence of the last couple of decades, unfortunately, what we've been witness to is steady deindustrialization. Now, in part, I think this is explained by missteps in trade and industrial policy, but there are other elements which are also deeply ingrained, and to a large extent, this is just outside of our hands, amongst other things, that our neighborhood, the neighboring markets, tend to be small, and that if you're looking for large markets, those are a long way away, which immediately imposes transport costs. To that, South Africa has added the insult and injury of corroding or undermining the critical network industries, and especially logistics and energy, which are vital underpins to building a viable, competitive manufacturing cluster.
Mm. Prof, when we look at the agreement, you mentioned that obviously there's a certain level of collaboration or spirit of collaboration between the US and South Africa that we want to obviously maintain. And I want to now look at what, again, from a timing perspective, the Biden administration is currently still in power and still responsible for decision-making up to November. But what it does bring to the fold is the Trump administration could potentially come back in November. We know that Donald Trump is not afraid to go down the sanction route and the tariff route, and he's very big on pro-US policies and that from a positioning point of view. Is this now what South Africa could potentially be afraid of? Or and I bring this up because at the same time that the minister is in the US, the deputy minister is set to travel to Russia. Are we hedging our bets here?
Yeah. Well, Jimmy, if I recall, you and I have also spoken about a leader who I think has been impressive in being able to face East and West at the same time. And that's India's Modi, who's been it's a masterclass in diplomacy, that he's been able to very successfully embrace both East and Western markets at the same time. South Africa, unfortunately, just doesn't have the same global standing. Market size strategically is not nearly as important, or even remotely as important, as India is to the world at large. And so, South Africa arrives at the table with, perhaps it's a case of arriving at a gunfight with a knife. No Trump puns intended, but. So South Africa just doesn't have the strength or the standing to be able to sort of call the shots. But that doesn't mean we can't learn from Modi and his very deft maneuvering in being able to embrace the East and the West. Where South Africa seems to have been leaning is to the East, putting their sentiment in the direction of Russia, at the same time that the West remains our most important providers of capital and trade. I think that that's folly, that if you can't play, you know, both sides with equal dexterity or deftness and dexterity, you need to choose, you know, who you're going to ally with. And, you know, your point about what happens in November, wow, you know, this is changing by the week. So if you asked me this question 2 weeks ago, even 10 days ago, it would have been a very different answer than today, where it looks like perhaps Kamala Harris or an other might have a reasonable prospect of challenging Trump, whereas Biden of 2 weeks ago had absolutely no meaningful prospect of challenging Trump. A Trump presidency, all of that said, I think would be bad for South Africa.
And the presence of the Israeli Prime Minister at this time in the US at the same time, is that good or bad for South Africa?
Sure. You know, that takes us into, you know, even more complex territory. And, you know, I wouldn't want to try and venture into areas in which I'm not expert. You know, I've got thoughts and perspectives on what this might mean for international relations. I wouldn't want to venture out on, you know, what Israel in the United States or Israeli Prime Minister in the United States right now means for South Africa specifically. That's certainly an extremely complex topic and not one that I could do justice to in the space of a minute or two.
Perhaps we'll have that conversation at another time as we have more information. But thank you so much for the time and for the insights. Professor Adrian Saville of the Gordon Institute for Business Sciences sharing his thoughts on the push for South Africa to have their AGOA membership extended.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.